Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. And I've said for a while, it's not my quote, but I said for a while the playoffs tell. They tell you about individual players. They tell you about the team you've rooted for all year. They tell you about the coach. They tell you about yourself as far as maybe your bias is popping out in or after a game when it doesn't go your way. And Sean and I have the scapegoat rankings that we decided to do. This past Friday, we waited for a couple games in the playoffs to start ranking the guys who are going to be blamed the most if their team loses a series. And no Rocket had made the list because at the time, they were coming off tying the series and Jalen Green had a spectacular night. Since that point, the Rockets have lost the last two to the Warriors. Jalen Green has not broke into double digits in scoring. And he is the prime candidate to rise to the top of our rankings when we do them on Friday. If there's, I mean, the series may be over by Friday, but we'll still do them. And I think it's not just us putting them there. I think it's a lot of Rocket fans. You saw a lot of it. I saw a lot of unacceptable. Like, what Jalen Green has done over the last two nights and really three out of the four nights has been unacceptable to people. I got to say, I am the most positive about Jalen Green. Maybe not in the city, but I think what he's done, because it doesn't surprise me at all, doesn't move me to a point where I'm saying it's unacceptable. This is who he has been. Not to these extremes, not three out of four games, but you can see what he's done against the Warriors throughout this season. And why that's translating to the playoffs, I can't speak to it. Maybe they just have some magical elixir to make him a bad offensive basketball player. But he's played poorly against the Warriors all year. That has continued. And his overall inconsistencies throughout the season means what he's doing is less surprising than probably it should be to me. Jalen Green not scoring, Jalen Green getting benched in the fourth quarter of a big playoff game, all tracks for me. He will get a chance to start again in game five. We'll hear from Ime Udoka. He was asked about potential changes, mostly about why Cam Whitmore and Reed Shepard aren't playing. And he said everything's on the table, but I don't really believe him. I think they have their eight. Whether those eight in their minutes get distributed differently is up for debate. But as far as who's actually going to play in the game, barring injury, I don't see the guys who are supposed to be part of this core seven that Rocket fans conjured up. I don't see those two playing in Whitmore or Shepard. You got your eight, maybe you get a ninth if Aaron Holiday plays a little bit more. But the Rockets go down in a game that was imminently winnable. Fred VanVleet, the other guy who's been under scrutiny, was great. 8 out of 12 from 3, knocked down big shot after big shot. The Warriors, because of their concern about Alperen when they had to go small because Draymond was out of the game because of foul trouble, anytime they came off of Alperen or paid too much attention to him, Fred was there to knock down a shot. He made a big three in the fourth quarter. He made several plays throughout the game to stem runs and get the Rockets back in it, but it wasn't enough. Because the problems that have existed since the beginning of the year pop up again. They don't shoot free throws well, and those issues have been exacerbated in these playoffs because they always are. Your biggest weaknesses become even bigger concerns in the playoffs. Now, you would think the Warriors have nothing to do with you shooting free throws. Either you make them or you're not once you're on the line. But why would a team who hasn't been through this before get better at something that they were bad with in the regular season? You would assume that would get worse. Why would they be a team who would execute better late when they weren't great at it during the regular season? You had Jabari Smith throwing a ball away when he got up in the air, threw it over Fred's head, went into the backcourt. That was an empty possession. Then, of course, just lack of quality shots. And all of it turned, unfortunately, when Draymond came back in the game. He was out for significant parts of the second half because of foul trouble. And if you want to complain, and maybe rightfully so, about why he wasn't even available to come back in the game in the first place when the referees kind of let him off the hook and found a way to punish him without really giving him the ultimate punishment because of his tangle with Tari Eason. Realistically, that should have been a second technical. He's out of the game, but they didn't want to throw him out of the game. So they gave him a flagrant. So, hey, Rockets, you get two free throws, but Draymond stays in the game. And it mattered late because Alperen against the smalls of Golden State, or when it was Trayce Jackson-Davis or Kevon Looney, he had his way. It was his most impactful moments in the series because he took advantage time and time again of the Warriors because they don't have a second legitimate big. Even Quentin Post, they don't want to put in Alperen because when Steven Adams is in the game, they want to keep a big guy on him to try to keep him off the board. It's not that he would be all that successful. So they decided to go small because their double bigs weren't viable. They tried it for a possession or two when they had Trayce Jackson-Davis and Quentin Post, and they threw in Kevon Looney for a possession. But for the most part, it was a small against Alperen, and credit him for taking advantage. But the moment Draymond ran back on that floor with about, 6.5 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, Alperen Şengün. Hey, Sean, do you remember that the meme of when LeBron was at the Heat and he was playing the Spurs and Kawhi checked back in? You see LeBron go, damn.
Yeah.
I didn't see that from Alperen specifically, but that's kind of how it was. When Draymond came back in the game, Alperen's free run against Golden State's defense was over. I don't think he scored a bucket against Draymond. In fact, he turned away from the basket a couple of times, and then on the final possession when they could not get the screen set for GP2 to be on him, he threw up what has not been a successful shot for him, kind of this mid-range floater that feels like it has no shot of going in, and it did not go in. Jimmy Butler gets the rebound, secures it, knocks down a couple of free throws. His 11th and 12th free throws of the game where he went 12 for 12. And on a night when Steph Curry does not explode, you are depending on a desperation heave from Fred that did not hit iron, and the Rockets go down. And now they're down 3-1. So I know some of the expectation and talk coming into the series was the Warriors are old. They had to play that extra game to get into the playoffs. The Rockets' youth, athleticism would be enough to beat this team. And it turns out it's not enough, at least right now. The Warriors are going to try to close it out in five because maybe the length of the series may help the Rockets. You saw Jimmy Butler at points in the second and third quarter limping around. It was very prominent when he fouled Dylan Brooks when he chased him down, which would have been a sure layup. He smacked Dylan Brooks hard on the arm. It was just a common foul. He looked like he had a giant hitch in his giddy up. He found a way, because Jimmy does, to get to the free throw line, made big plays down stretch. He was the team's leading scorer, or maybe at least he came in second. The Pods, who had a big night. So I think the Warriors' guile and all that veteran know-how stuff that people talk about has come to the forefront, and the Rockets are learning. They're a team who doesn't know what these situations are like as a unit, and you see that play out in these close games. The overreactionary thing is to say, well, somebody's got to go here because the expectations have been built. You're a 2 seed. Right or wrong, people believe you should at least get out of the first round, particularly when you think this Warriors team can be had, and they look vulnerable because it doesn't seem like there's a lot there if Jimmy's not at his best. But you got moments. Buddy Hield has picked it up. Pods had a great night. We talked about the GP2 game in game three. So they found ways to supplement Jimmy Butler's absence or Steph's quiet night to take a 3-1 lead. So the questions about where we go from here and this season, I don't really want to get into them until the season is over, but I did see the calls for Kevin Durant. They need a closer. Saw the get Jalen off my team stuff because of the obvious lack of production. And then this is what happens when you finally, after years of being in the wilderness, have something to root for and something that's at risk. You now care. And you're going to start to point out guys who don't show up in games that you care about. Of course, Jalen's not even 24 years old. So should you give up on him and his first playoff experience? Probably not, but that doesn't matter in the moment. Like, hey, we got a shot to win this series, and if we had a better player here, who knows what we could be? The playoffs tell. And right now, the playoffs tell that the Rockets' most inconsistent player is showing that inconsistency when it matters the most. And that's why he wasn't playing in the fourth quarter in a game they really needed. So we'll get into what Ime said after the game. If you want to get in on the show, you can. If you want to talk Rockets, 713-780-3776. So, should we wait until this series is over to begin to talk about who should still be a part of this team? I think so. I think it's early to have the talk. Honestly, the series is probably over. Is this Rockets team capable of beating the Warriors three games in a row? No. They're almost as inconsistent as their top perimeter option. But can they win a game five at home? Sure. I think the Warriors are going to do everything they can to close them out in five. Don't think they won a long series here. They love to get some rest because the next opponent for whoever wins this series is the Minnesota T-Wolves. And right now, they look on the verge of gentlemanly sweeping the Lakers, and the Warriors will try to do the same here back in Houston. So we'll get into that. We'll get into the news with the Astros because the byproduct of Altuve playing left field is him now not being the leadoff hitter for a reason I would say I would have kept quiet. Like, if the reason for you not wanting to lead off anymore is the one that Altuve got, I'm like, you know what? I would have Joe Espada take the bullet and go, hey, I just made a decision I think is better for the lineup. Not logistically, it'd be better for me to hit second. We'll talk about that. Altuve had a big moment, a big sequence of events in the game against the Tigers that the Astros won. Made a good play and then hit a home run. And maybe this new change helped that happen. So we'll get into that. And also we'll play audio really from around sports, but a lot of Rockets coming up here. So we're just getting started here. Me and Sean. Till noon, we'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
A couple scuffles. Just talking, it was pushing.
I mean, just talking, physical out there. You know, they're just going to let one dude do whatever he wants. And he's not going to get... he's got two texts off rip. You know, you can talk to him about what he wants. So
that was Amon Thompson. I think Big Sarge asked a question about, at least he certainly from his Twitter, about Draymond. And as much as Draymond's great theater, and I'm not bothered by what he is because I've seen it over the last decade, what he is out there, I mean, what are you going to do? Particularly when you know he gets the leeway. So I've come to accept it. But I do think it's an issue when the players out there know the deal too. Like, they know what it is. Draymond's going to be able to do more things than they can before getting thrown out. It's what a lot of people have said. It's like in football. You can't call holding on every play. So how many times can Draymond do something, and how many times are you willing to blow the whistle and punish him for it? He has set a standard where it takes exorbitant things. It takes egregious things to get him thrown out of a game. And he should have been out of the game by letter of the law yesterday. which would have helped because Alperen could have continued to bully whatever warrior was in Draymond down the stretch. Unfortunately, didn't get to do that, and he wound up on Draymond on the final possession. And while maybe Fred VanVleet could have gotten to a point where he could have set a screen to get GP2 on Alperen, didn't happen. GP2 fought through it, which is his job, and it wound up one-on-one, Draymond versus Alperen. Alperen didn't win. Here's Ime on Alperen's miss and really that final possession.
It was okay. I think Draymond shot the gap and kind of denied the catch. Tried to get a switch with Payton, so we didn't get a great screen and kept the matchup, but got a decent look, but got the screen better to get Alpi open at the spot we want him at.
So, I mean, I know there was some question about whether they just said, hey, let's go one-on-one versus Draymond with Alpi. No, they knew. Let's try to get him off of him. Just didn't get it done. Execution. That's one of those things where the coaches go, hey, I drew it up. Lack of execution. And then you would say, perhaps, maybe if you had executed better in a practice or two, this could have worked out. But the other guys are there to prevent you from getting what you want out of a set. And credit the Warriors for not allowing what you wanted to happen to happen. So they got their best matchup on the player who you thought was most likely to score in that situation. He didn't. And then, of course, you were unable to secure an offensive rebound. The Warriors did their job, and they go out with the win. So do we question what Ime has done so far? There may be some times where I thought sticking with the double bigs in previous games would have been a plus. He did it in this game. Steven Adams got to 20-plus minutes, I think 26, which is a series high. So there was an adjustment there to play him more. And we'll hear from Ime in a little bit here about why he did it. Because the runs the Warriors put on when Steven Adams wasn't on the floor, it wasn't exclusively just him not being on the floor. But the Warriors went on runs to start the game and to start the second half, which kind of evened out what was kind of Rockets dominance around him. So the Warriors went on a 13-2 run to start the game, and then an 18-1 run start second half, because the Rockets did what they do to close the first half. They forced turnovers, they got out in transition, and got buckets. And they led by 7, I think, going into the half. And so you add those two runs together, it was 31-3. You think about the score of the game where the Rockets lose by 3. Over the span of like 7.5 minutes, they were outscored 31-3. Think about how that game went the rest of the way. The Rockets played well, were much better than the Warriors for the other 40-plus minutes of the game, but they were so bad in the 7.5 minutes that they wound up losing the game by 3.
Yeah, and the, hey, when you're 31-3 at the start of both halves, you know what that tells me? You need to change your starting lineup. Because that's what the starting lineup's out for both teams.
It's why Amin shot the ball so well, was still like a minus 17 on the night. Because their starting lineup got absolutely destroyed, which was a question asked after the previous game. Would you make changes? And he was resistant to make those changes. Will he be pushed or forced into that now after evidence that his starting lineup is getting killed? And it happened with Jimmy Butler back on the floor. People wanted Amin out of the starting lineup. Does Jabari get more time? Jabari got more time last night, but he didn't start. So do we do it? It's desperation time. Do you use Jabari as a way to avoid a bad start? And is Amin the most likely guy who gets pulled out of it? Do you want to get bigger and say, Dylan Brooks, you step out of the lineup? Or the more drastic thing, the one that would set particular fan bases ablaze, depending on what agenda you have, is taking Jalen out of the starting lineup because he has played poorly for the better part of the series. Do you take him out, insert Jabari, so you're pretty giant outside of Fred VanVleet at the positions, and you just move Dylan Brooks to the backcourt? And Dylan Brooks or Fred can chase Steph around. You put Amin on Jimmy Butler and go from there.
One quick thing that you mentioned about it'll set the Jalen stands ablaze.
Yeah.
Do you think after last night they kind of had to turn in their badge and gun? Just like, come on, guys.
you destroyed half the city. $2 million in property damage.
For this.
They were insistent after game three that he was being guarded like Steph, so other people had to do things. So, will last night, a third game in this series where he scores a double or single digits, would that be enough? Well, there stands for a reason.
I would say that, like, yeah, he's getting guarded by Steph.
Or like Steph.
Yeah, but Steph scored like 38 points the first three games of the series.
Yeah, I did bring that up.
Anthony Edwards got doubled every play, scored 40.
Well, there are levels because no one thinks he should be. Well, maybe some of them do, but no one.
Yeah, that's the logical fallacy. That's the logical incongruity is that you think he's so good, but why isn't he playing? Like, not is he? Why is he not just like falling short of like? I'm saying go out and score 40. Go out and score 10.
Yeah, why is Buddy Hield out playing you?
Like that. Why is Buddy Hield picking your pocket to start the game?
Well, that one, he just lost it. I wish I could give Buddy Hield credit because it'd make Jalen Green look better. He just lost the basketball in the game.
He showed up and like was very – it's funny because I was like, oh, the Rockets are not ready to play. And then they call a timeout and take Jalen Green out. And then they go on a run. And I'm like, oh, they fought back. They're whatever, down two after the first quarter after – getting blitzed and then up seven at halftime, and it's like, oh, well.
You know, Jalen Green took the wrong lessons from the game that began before his. Like, you're watching the Heat game and they turn the ball over early and they are out of it from the jump. Hey, don't take that lesson. Take the lesson where you put your foot on someone's throat. Take the Cavs lesson. What the Cavs did. Don't be the Heat. Be the Cavs.
I had a thought, and I didn't really interrogate why, but I was thinking as I was watching the last 5 minutes of the Cavs Heat series, just because I'm waiting for the game to start.
Yep.
Not super interested in this, but I was thinking, I think this game being a 50-point blowout, like, I don't know why, but that feels like a bad omen for the Rockets. I feel like that's bad. I feel like if it was more competitive, the Rockets just have a chance. I know it's unrelated.
You just had a bad feeling.
It was just like, this is going to be a terrible night.
And the loss turned it into a terrible night.
I guess it was a good game.
They were competitive. It was, all these games have been really competitive. I mean, game two, the Rockets controlled that one throughout, and it flipped, certainly, when Jimmy Butler got hurt.
That was the less.
The one game maybe that's been kind of a thought going in and certainly exists now. The Rockets won't win in any of these close ones. They gotta jump on the Warriors and put them down early. But if they don't, the Warriors will find a way to win, and that has been the case. 3 out of 4 games.
God, Fred VanVleet went 8 for 12.
You got the Fred VanVleet 2019 version from his run with the Raptors, and it wasn't enough.
I was jokingly just be like, Fred VanVleet, save us, please.
And he almost did.
Yeah.
He almost
did. It was fun to be a Fred VanVleet stan for a half a basketball.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck making that a thing for you.
Oh, no, I am immediate, like the Jalen Green fan should. I am also just, all right. Turning in my badge and gun. He's gonna need to start 3 for 3 in game 5.
Everything balances out. Fred goes 8 for 12 last night. You can expect a 1 for 6 start.
Yeah,
in game 5, you can just expect it. The Rockets do a remarkable job of finding their levels, which would mean if Jalen Green finds his level, we're in for a great game 5 from him.
We played the sound after game 2, and it was a little bit. I think it was treated as celebratory, where after game 2, he goes, yeah, to be honest, you know, game 1, the lights are a little bit brighter, the court was a little bit bigger. I think we were the two that were just like, wait, that's not a good thing to say after one game. And then he goes and plays 2 road games, and it looks like the lights are too bright and the
court's
too big. And
we might even have pointed out, wait, he's going to Chase. I mean, it's not Oracle, but it's still a road environment. We'll see how bright the lights are.
It's still his first road playoff game.
Yeah, and the lights have proven to be too bright. His legs are too shaky and his handles too loose as he
vomit on his City Connect already. I guess it was the icon.
Proverbial vomit jersey. On his statement jersey after what we saw in the first 5 minutes of that game.
Mom's spaghetti. Mom's chicken Alfredo.
What do you think he is? What do you think Mom's making for Jalen?
Chicken Alfredo? They told the story that he's chicken Alfredo. I don't know if Mom makes it. I don't know.
That feels... I don't think mom's making chicken Alfredo.
And it's like every day. I think he has a chef.
There's a yeah, he probably just tells his chef, this is what I want.
It's also very big. I am 22 years old.
It's definitely, I'm 22 years old. I think that's a delicacy.
Yeah.
I think I'm really eating.
I also think this is like healthy. Or, you know, this is good fuel to put in my body.
It's not fried.
Yeah.
That's kind of the basis.
It's like, hey, I'm not eating Chick-fil-A, all right?
Someone cooked it.
I saw them cook it.
That wasn't using a fryer. Yeah.
With the Alfredo sauce.
Well, let's not tell people what's in the Alfredo sauce.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I think Alfredo sauce was responsible, I'll say, for at least two of the turnovers.
Because he didn't wash his hands?
No, just it's not – that's just not what you want to be putting in your body before you guard Steph Curry.
Well, that is the thing. I'm sure at some point he'll learn the lesson of what is appropriate for an NBA player. But right now he's 22, 23, so he can eat chicken Alfredo and it not really matter.
I think Bradley Beal's really going to have to take him under his wing next year when he's in Phoenix.
Of course, that's the Kevin Durant speculation. But why the hell would Phoenix want him and Bradley Beal on the same team? Why?
And Devin Booker.
Yeah. Who's playing? Who's not playing? How much are you paying all these guys, two of them, not to play? You know the combination of Beal and Jalen's going to take you, what, near $90 million? Is that what the Phoenix Suns want? Is that what they want?
No, probably not.
Yeah, Jalen's going somewhere in a three-team trade if that was ever going to happen.
Get ready to learn.
Sacramento, buddy.
Oh, oof.
What?
That's just...
You think...
I know he hasn't played well, but that's harsh.
He gets his own team. Him and Zach LaVine.
Also, same question to the Kings. Well, you want to...
The Kings have lower lower standards.
I was going to say, they have a track record of being like, yeah, we love this stupid idea.
Yeah, hey. Hey, it's Jalen Green, former top five pick.
He's got 22 points a game.
Bring him in. He's already got a contract figured out. We don't even have to do that. So we'll hear more from the Rockets as we continue. We'll get into some Astros when we come back because there's some news regarding your rotation, your starting lineup. If you were focused on the Astros and maybe, or excuse me, the Tech, I keep butchering these teams' names. If you're focused on the Rockets, I get it. But there are some... I feel like I can call it odd news that came out about why the lineup is now different. I've never heard this reason before. It's very Altuve, I've been here forever. This is my team. Hey, if you're not going to take my thoughts into consideration about bringing back players, oh, by the way, he also said something yesterday about a certain shortstop that he wants back. Take my thoughts into consideration about where I want to hit. So we'll get into that, and we'll talk about the game as they now maybe not putting together a winning streak, but it is two in a row. They took out the Tigers last night. We'll tell you how that went down and why Altuve is no longer in the leadoff spot when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
You know, everything I want to do is just, you know, first for the team. You know, I think if I don't perform, I don't help the team. So I think everything about the team, you know, playing left field, playing in second base on games, everything I'm doing is because I really want to try to help this team. And you know, if Joe, like, for example, today I'm playing left, but tomorrow I might play second, you know, I don't really care. I just want to be in the lineup and ready to play. I was just looking for, like I said, those little extra 5 seconds coming from whoever I'm coming from and, you know, trying to make the team better. I think we have a great team. We have a great opportunity again to go to playoff. We're facing really good teams and really good pitchers, but, you know, we have the talent here, and I think we can do it.
So Jose Altuve was in the second spot yesterday at his own request. Espada granted that request, and he just needs a little bit more time. It's a byproduct of him playing left field and having to run in if he's in the leadoff spot. Now, it helped out yesterday. He makes a nice play ranging to his right and left, and we haven't heard a lot about him and left because the mistakes aren't there. He has improved, and that play was a really nice one. and then not batting in the leadoff spot led to him being up to bat with the runner on, and he hits a 2-run home run to give the Astros a lead in the sixth inning. That all happened in the sixth, so at least for one night, that suggestion and the request being granted helped the Astros win a game. Ronel Blanco's on the mound. He was not good, but good enough. He got off to a rough start. The Astros were down 3-0 in that one. But with the ERA at 5 and maybe what we've come to accept from him early on the year, maybe not thinking about him as the 2024 Ronel Blanco, but accepting the 2025 version of him, you'll take it. While he probably isn't more than a fifth starter, injuries and circumstance make him a 3 right now for them. And really what he did last year makes him a 3 as well. He earned the third spot. But with Arrigetti being hurt and Wesneski being your other option, of course, Gusto filling in and waiting on Lance McCullers, who had a rehab start on Saturday, threw 71 pitches. So while they told us he could be back for the Royals series, surprisingly enough, an Astros timeline didn't work out. We're still waiting, but no injury concerns. We leave that for Forrest Whitley, who's a little banged up. But Blanco last night, 5 innings, 3 runs, not a quality start. He had won the start before against the Blue Jays, but hey, kept the team in the game despite the rough beginning, giving up 2 home runs, and they found a way to fight back. So you'll take that against the Tigers team, who is in the lead in the AL Central. Astros still a game back in Seattle, so playing better, despite what happened against the Royals, where you lose 2 out of 3 because you couldn't get hits in the first 2 games of that series. Overall, if we do the whole in the last 10 type accounting of the team, they're getting there. They're getting there with the division still clearly in their sights. And we'll see if health helps them with their pitching staff, and mostly whenever McCullers comes back, we'll see what he has. But, yeah, 7 out of their last 10 they've won, so no complaints there.
That 3 different 2-game win streaks.
I know.
I remember the Astros couldn't win back-to-back.
I remember that as well. Now cut that crap out. They win back-to-back games. I mean, they may lose two in a row in between.
Yeah, whatever.
But they'll win back-to-back. The question is, can they get the 4? They're halfway there. Can they get the 4 in a row? Something they've never done this year.
Is Scooble coming up for the Tigers?
In fact, Scooble not in the rotation for this series. They got Gusto versus Olsen tonight.
Okay.
So it's possible.
I mean, it's still like a coin flip, but
sure.
We'll see.
But without Scooble,
Scooble's worse than a coin flip.
Yes, it's. Will Jalen Green make this 3?
No, it's Will.
No, it's like 70%. No.
I was going to say, it's Will Jalen score 10 points tonight?
Well, 3 out of 4 times. No.
And that feels about right.
A Scooble 75% chance he'd beat the Astros? Yeah, I got you there. We will we'll continue to talk. Well, he brought up Jalen, so we'll continue to talk Rockets throughout the show.
Sorry.
No, apologize to Jalen, not me. You didn't bring my foibles back into the conversation. Let's get to Gary. Gary wants to talk about the prank call of the NFL draft. There were several, but Shador was the one that everyone wants to focus on. What's up, Gary?
Yeah, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say that premeditation takes out the unintentional, meaning that the Atlanta Falcons reported, hey, that was unintentional or whatever. Well, premeditation, I fail to believe that you woke up that morning and, okay, you know what? It's planned. Wake up that morning. Let's prank Shador and some more people. So we're going to wait if the Saints don't pick him up. So that is planned. You're planning that. Unless you got to the ninth pick and you pick the phone up immediately or go grab dad's phone or laptop and while dad is not there, you planned that. You woke up. How are we going to do this? How are we going to prank that? So the fact that Atlanta is issuing a statement saying it was unintentional, no, that's premeditation. And so with premeditation and one other thing, the comments the kid made, not the kid, the little young guy made, indicated, well, you're going to have to wait even longer. That lets me believe, we have our opinions, that information was passed down, colluded from the owners to the coaches. And then the coaches talked to the other coaches, and we're going to let him sit because you're going to have to wait a little longer and stuff like that. Again, just my opinion, but at the end of the day, it was premeditated. It wasn't unintentional because you woke up. You planned, whether it was a week before, day before, or the minute of. You planned, opened the laptop, turned it on. I believe that getting that allowed him to have that information so they can further attempt to embarrass that young man. So premeditation eliminates unintentional. All right.
Thanks, Gary. I'm reading over the Falcons statement right now, and I don't see where they – I see where they say unintentional, and where it is. Early in the week, Jax Ulbrich, the 21-year-old son of defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, unintentionally came across the draft contact phone number of Shedeur Sanders, off an open iPad, so on and so forth. Well, I guess from the Falcons' point of view, we didn't intentionally set up Jax Ulbrich to prank Shedeur Sanders. What he did was intentional, clearly. But the Falcons and their employee, which is Jeff, did not do anything intentionally for this to happen. I think that's as far as it goes. Now, you may disagree, but I don't think there's any question that Jax Ulbrich intentionally decided to do it. The question is, did the Falcons collude with their defensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator's son to embarrass Shedeur Sanders? I don't believe that's the case. You can disagree with it, so be it. As far as you have to wait a little bit longer, from my interpretation, that is just someone saying, hey, we're not drafting you. You're going to have to wait. I don't know that Jax Ulbrich knew that everyone came together and said, hey, not the first, not the second, not the third, not the fourth, the fifth round. It just simply is a guy riffing in his prank and go, hey, I know you think it's going to be this call. No, it's going to be another call. You're going to have to wait a little bit. I don't think he's a mastermind. I don't think they'd include anyone named Jax in their plans to embarrass Shedeur over the course of 2+ days.
J-A-X.
Yeah, it's not like Jax, like J-A-C-K-S, like the beef links, whatever it's called. It's J-A-X, like the shortening of Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That's how I interpret it, Gary. You may be right, but I think the only one who was intentional in their attempts to embarrass Shedeur Sanders was Jax. Everyone else was like, oh, man, Jax at it again. We'll see. We'll see the NCAA, because they do investigations. We'll see if the NFL finds anything where Jeff Ulbrich has text messages between him, his son, and Arthur Blank to take it out on Shedeur for whatever reason. But I think it's not a kid, as you said, a young man being an idiot about it. I think that's as far as it goes, because 21-year-old dudes are idiots. We all were 21, and most of us were dumb during that time frame. It happens. Unfortunately, it happened to Shedeur on a weekend that wasn't a great one for him, but it happened to others as well. So, was Tyler Warren intentionally pranked as well by multiple people in the NFL, or was it just some stupid young adult? I'm going to go with stupid young adult doing stupid young adult things.
I don't know. I think so.
You want an investigation.
Yeah, Tyler Warren. A jilted Boise State fan.
Oh.
A jilted SMU fan.
Mm,
probably someone named Jax, if they're from SMU.
That's hate there.
Why?
It's a
well-off name.
Do you have bigger disdain for Catholic school kids in Houston or Fort Worth kids? No, Dallas. Dallas kids. Fort Worth is TCU. I apologize. Dallas kids.
I have no beef with TCU or TCU kids.
But SMU kids you got an issue with?
Yeah, a little bit.
You've run into them in the past?
A little bit. Yeah.
What, from high school that went to SMU or just
SMU
kids?
Yeah, going to private school, believe it or not.
SMU kids wound up at
school? Some people continue their private school education.
Yeah. I went to private school. Wound up at a very public community college for my first year.
Yeah.
My dad was like, I'm not paying for private school anymore. Your grades aren't good enough. And that was my path in the public school. He was like, wait a minute. Why would I keep doing this?
I'm doing the math here.
Yeah, wait a minute.
I don't think I'm going to get a return on my investment.
Yeah, you listen to a lot of radio. That seems like a dream of yours. Why do I got to pay for private school for that? Do you even need to go to school for that? The answer is no, actually. Not yeah. really.
They want you to. But
not yeah, it's not. It's not necessary, honestly. Like, I was in a community college at Alvin. Shout out to the Dolphins, Nolan Ryan. And they're like, and sure, you learn the board, but it ain't nothing like the board in there. It's not the same system at all. Look, we're teaching the guy the board right now. Right now. Who accosted me. He didn't really accost me. Who noticed me at HEB because I think I had a shirt on that said ESPN 97.5. Mm. You ain't got to go to school for this. You could just sit in there for a couple shows and learn what we learned while we were trying to get a degree.
Yeah. It's like a week. Right?
Yeah. Doesn't take much. That's the trick that I found out pretty quickly. Wait a minute. I learned more here as an intern in my first 2 weeks. Shout out to Alvin. You cultivated this prodigy. If you can't tell, that's sarcasm, everybody. This is not a prodigy.
Molded. Molded in the fires
of Alvin
to talk Shedeur Sanders prank calls.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Jim wants to talk about it. We'll get to that when we come back. If you have thoughts on the conspiracy to embarrass Shedeur, you can call in or anything else. We talked plenty of Rockets, got to the Astros as well. We'll get into some Texan stuff too, mostly because I want to know. We're going to play some sound. We're going to figure out if Nick Caserio wants to immediately cut this kid before he even signed him. We'll get to that in the second hour of the show. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really. Okay.
Welcome back to the show. And are we in hour two or still in hour one?
Hour one.
Hour one. Okay, let's get
for
to this.
30 seconds.
Let's get to these calls. First, Gary's call sparked some interest from people. Jim, he wants to talk about Shedeur. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. It's Jim. I just want to know, after that phone call, is Shedeur Sanders' condition getting worse at ICU? Is he going to be all right? And, Dale, as a black man myself, I'd like to know what's happening to all our athletes. We don't get drafted in the NFL anymore. We got two of the best basketball players in the world are white. I don't understand, man. Is this the end of times? Dale, help.
Jim, before you go, I was going to ask him, did he watch Sinners? Because if he didn't watch Sinners, not a black man in my eyes, since we're doing this ridiculous thing where you announce who you are, even if I don't believe you, to, I guess, solidify your point. If you don't watch Sinners, Jim, you don't count. Your vote doesn't count. Sorry. Go watch the movie if you hadn't. Go support Ryan Coogler and other black men, since apparently that's what you want to do. Thanks, Jim, for the call. Did he say anything I actually want to address? Oh, he called in yesterday under the name Tim, I think. At least that's what we called him, Tim.
Yeah.
And with a very similar viewpoint on this. I think Shedeur Sanders is less bothered by some of this than other people.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that the Colorado fan base, and by that I just mean like the Sanders family
sure.
fan base, I think they're taking this a lot more personally
yeah.
than the Sanders are.
And people who don't root for Colorado just decided this was the cause they wanted to take up are as well. As you can tell by most our attitude on most things, this show, not bothered by it, not concerned with it. He's just a quarterback who fell in the draft. And if there is a deeper, darker conspiracy, at least it didn't happen to me. Those are my thoughts on the situation.
Yeah. The NFL conspiracy gun wasn't pointed at me.
It wasn't pointed at me. It
or a team I root for.
Yeah, so big deal, as Gilbert would say, big deal anyway.
Yeah.
When it comes to my thoughts on this whole thing. He seems to be fine. whether that's a front or not, he didn't appear to be overwhelmed. And that's partly because, if I'm going to guess, there's a soft landing spot no matter what happens to him in the NFL. Shador will be coaching with his dad. Guarantee it. If the NFL stuff doesn't work out, guarantee he'll be his dad's quarterback coach. Don't worry about
Colorado
it.
Colorado OC Shador Sanders.
Don't. Maybe Deion makes him grind on the way up.
Yeah, that's
gives probably, him an OC that, job, yeah. Or gives him the OC job after he proves himself as a quarterback coach.
That's likely.
Yeah, but he will be a part of football because of his father. As long as his father wants to coach, so I am not that concerned about Shador Sanders. And hell, you know what? Maybe he's as good as some of you think he is, and he wins that Cleveland job, and we're having a big laugh, and all the NFL teams are dumb as hell, and hashtag legendary. All right, let's get to Julian with his conspiracy talk. What's up, Julian?
I'm with Gary, except I think he didn't take it far enough. The NBL, formerly known as the NFL, the non-black league, they colluded against all these young black men. Tyler Warren, black. Kyle McCord, black. Who's the other one that they called? He was also black. And Shador. I mean, they're doing this to the young black men, and I'm sick of it.
To be fair to Gary, he never mentioned the race of Shador Sanders. He just said they were out to get him. He never said, oh, they did it because he was black. And that is something that I think gets conflated because, of course, people will talk about, hey, it wasn't only black guys that this happened to, or the top quarterback who was drafted was black. I think I talked about it yesterday that not every black person's the same, which would lead me to believe that it's more about the impression or the projection that Shador was putting out there that turned people off. I don't think it had much of anything to do with Shador just being black, if that has anything to do with it at all. We talked about all the rumors that have come out. Albert Breer added to it just more ammo that Shador in the draft process was an absolute mess. Am I naive to think people aren't against Shador because of, if you want to call it, being a not even outspoken, because Bomani Jones brought it up. Shador Sanders isn't pretty much outspoken because he doesn't have a cause other than being Shador Sanders. It's not like he's standing up for anyone. He's not outspoken. He is loud, I guess you could say. He will speak his mind, but outspoken suggests there's something beyond him advocating for himself. And he's not doing that. This is just about Shador and what he thinks he can be and what he thinks he's owed. And the NFL said, we don't really owe you much.
Hashtag legendary.
There it is. You go prove yourself, and then you can go earn something, but we don't owe you anything. Which is always the weird thing for me with this particular story. Like, why is Shador, for some people, being looked at as the standard bearer for standing up to, I guess, the quote-unquote man? That man don't care about you. If you ain't backing him in Colorado, don't give a damn. Not even Colorado anymore, to be honest with you. Colorado is just a vehicle. It was better to do it there than to stay at Jackson State and do it. Like, it could have been anywhere. No matter where his dad was going to go, this particular environment was going to occur. Colorado was a perfect place because they were like, hey, do whatever you want. We are anonymous, and even worse than that, people don't care about us at all. Please do whatever you want to bring attention to our program. And Colorado will say they won. And Shador used it as a vehicle to prove that he can play at the Power 5 level or Power 4 level at this point. And now he's drafted. That's where I stand on that. I would just like to talk about him playing football. And to be honest, because the way this show operates, watch him not play well for the Browns, because it would be funny just to watch another Browns quarterback not play well.
Hashtag legendary. Yeah, it would be funny if it's like, oh my God, the Browns finally found a quarterback late in the draft.
Dylan Gabriel. Yeah. That's just the funniest thing to come out of
Dylan
this.
Dylan Gabriel becoming Patrick Mahomes.
That Dylan Gabriel, the guy everyone's talking about as someone Shador is a better quarterback than, is a guy who brings a bright spot to the Browns, while the Shador, Joe Flacco, Deshaun Watson thing is a circus they get to push aside because Dylan Gabriel's the new hope for the Browns. That's what I'm hoping
better
for.
Better Jaden Daniels.
Of all the scenarios that I want that could happen, the Dylan Gabriel's the savior of the Browns for a season is my top choice. All right, let's go to break with that. If you have a conspiracy, if you want to turn this into a, I don't know, a white black thing, I prefer that you not, because it's of little interest to me, but whatever. A Jim Tim, maybe enough. That's 2 days in a row of that certain point of view. We get it. We get it. You don't think Shador is in any real trouble, and I agree. I just don't like your message, the delivery of your message, honestly, just to be honest with it. Julian, you know I don't like what you say, but for much different reasons. That stupid slogan you've got. All right, we will come back. We are deep into a second hour that should have already begun but hasn't. So Sean and I will figure it out as we keep going here. If you want to call in, 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.